Good morning. Today's reading is from the book of Judges, chapter 6. Then the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The powerful hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens, hideouts, which were in the mountains, and the caves and the mountain strongholds. For it was whenever Israel had sown their seed that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the people of the east and go up against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the crops of the land as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were innumerable. So they came into the land to devastate it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Now it came about when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened. You have not listened to and obeyed my voice." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Colton. Can you say out loud with me, everybody, "They did it again"? You know, I know that part, that scripture sounds familiar because, yeah, you've heard that the last 3 weeks, because it was the cycle that Israel just kept insisting on. They could not stand blessing. I mean, God would bless them, God would prosper them, and sooner than later they would start looking to themselves and start feasting themselves, and everything would be about them, and they'd turn their eyes back off of God, and then they get sucked into sexual relationships with these other peoples and start worshiping their false gods, and God would take his hand off of them. It's another cycle. It happened again. And then finally, after several years, the Lord would hear their cry and he'd step in and raise up somebody to intervene for them. So we're right back where we were a few weeks ago. They cry out, God hears. But this week, our story is about a guy named Gideon. First week, Pastor Craig talked about Othniel. Then we had Ehud, remember the left-handed Benjaminite? Then we had Deborah, the only woman judge that's mentioned in Scripture. And there's a little guy named Shagmar that was in between. But this one is Gideon. Now, we don't want to presume that you know anything about Gideon. We were talking to a friend of ours this week on the phone, and we were talking about, we're going to be sharing some stuff about Gideon. And this lady said, "I've never heard of Gideon. Who is Gideon?" And she's been a Christian for a while. I said, "Well, obviously you're not spending a whole lot of time in the Old Testament." But that's okay, because a lot of us are right there too. So here's what I want you to know. This isn't just a history lesson. This isn't just one more example of people choosing to do their own thing and the consequences swallowing them up. Now, it is that, but it's much more. I want you to listen to this verse that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, and this is what I want us to apply today. The Apostle Paul was talking about these historical situations, and this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. He says, "Now these things happened to them as examples for us." Okay, can you stop there for a second? Everything we're going to talk about today that's true about Gideon, God says, it's for you. It's for you. And they were written for our instruction. I believe there's going to be some things here to avoid and maybe some things here to apply. But it's for us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And so it's not just history, but we're looking for application. Now, I've asked an important person in my life to help me team teach today. And Mary is my wife, and she's going to share this first point. She's going to introduce you to Gideon. Why don't you give her a big welcome, will you? Holy Spirit of God, would you wake up every sleeping heart today? Would you open every eye that they might see who they are? Would you open up our ears so that we can hear your word that you gave Gideon, but you gave it to Gideon because you want to give it to us? I pray everyone in this room would move from where they are to where closer to where you want them to be because of the healing power of your word coming through me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Guys, let me make a note before we start that this story is going to start off by saying the angel of the Lord said. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. Now, a lot of the Old Testament stories, we see an angel appears. We see the Spirit of God manifest. We see a pillar of fire that leads. And we think, well, that is so different from today. An angel has never come into my bedroom and never said, "Thus saith me, you are too." And so a lot of times you think, does God speak today? Let me just tell you, God speaks today. He talks to you today. He hears you. When you don't even know how to pray, when you don't even know what to pray for, he knows what you need. And so when you say things like, "God, help me, what am I supposed to do?" And the first thought that comes into your mind is, forgive them. God forgave you. God spoke to you. That's how God speaks, through the impression of the Holy Spirit in your thoughts. When you have an argument with your kids and they're just in their adolescent craziness that you're going to look like when you're in menopause in 10 more years, and you're like, "Lord, what are you going to do with this kid?" And a thought comes to your head, go in and apologize and take the responsibility. Boom! The Holy Spirit speaks to you. So it may not be a manifestation of the angel of the Lord, but in the New Testament and in 2024, can we all just level the playing field? God speaks today. He speaks through your thoughts, he speaks through the word, and he speaks through pastors who speak over you. So Gideon, let me set up this story. We are in Judges chapter 6, and here's the setting in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree of Orpah. That tree belonged to Joash, the Abizarite, and Joash was the father of Gideon. So the son Gideon was beating the wheat in a wine press instead of the threshing floor. Why? To hide and to save the food from the Midianites. Now let me tell you about the Midianites. They were bullies. They were bad people. There are some people that are just bad to the bone. And they were bad to the bone. And they had hooked up with the Amalekites. And they were worse. And they had teamed together, thousands and thousands of them. And because Israel had sinned, God gave them over to experience their consequences. And the consequences my hands are removed, now you will go through 7 years of this. And boy, do they go through it. Have you ever felt that you've taken one step forward just to take five steps backwards? That's what was happening, because every time Gideon and his clan and the Israelites had a huge harvest, the Midianites would wait, and then they would go, "Now is the time," and they would send thousands of people on camels to overtake them and steal everything. So get this picture. Gideon hasn't had a great meal in 7 years. No one has. There's nothing. There's no spoils. He's skinny. He's weak. He's hiding. He's in a cave.
Does he sound like a Hulk Hogan to you? No. Does he sound like a Braveheart? No. Does he sound like the son of a leader of a tribe? No. Because in his state, he is not, and he knows it. He's supposed to be on the hill threshing wheat. So when the wind blows, it blows the bad stuff away and the good stuff falls. But he's not even going to take a chance on doing it the right way because he's afraid. And in that state of fear, panic, anxiety, skinny, distraught, anger, bitter, in that state, God comes and God calls. Can you imagine? We think God comes to those who have it all together. 100% not true. And this is the example God gave us because here we are. Amen. The next verse says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" Mighty man, hero. Who are you talking to? It's not me. And the Lord is speaking to Gideon. That's what he says. God will always say over you what you are in the power of the Spirit. He will always say over you his vision for your life. He will never speak to you and tell you you're not good enough. He will never speak to you and confirm your fears. He will never speak to you and confirm that your sin is okay because he knows the season that you're in. He will never do that. And he did that with Gideon. "Oh, Gideon, valiant warrior, the Lord is with you." And the first thing out of Gideon's mouth was not what we heard from Mary when she was called to be the mother of Jesus, when Mary said, "Oh, Lord, let it be done." The first thing Gideon responds with is, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened?" Who said that? Come on, I'm going to raise both hands. If you're here, why did this happen? Question one. And where are all your miracles? Where are all the wonderful works that the pastor said was going to happen? Second question. And then the third was an accusation. "But now, Lord, you've abandoned us. You've left us here. This is your fault." Raise your hands. Have we not all said and felt that at some point in our lives? But I love Gideon's honesty. Because here's the answer to those questions that I'll tell you. The Lord disciplines and allows us, whom he loves, sometimes to suffer the consequences of my choices. Because he knows after enough suffering, some need to suffer more than others. I am not a person that likes pain. So if I suffer for a long, short while, I'm like, "Oh God." Some people take years. God knows if he left the Israelites alone, if he let them heal their hurts with their own escapes, if he let them numb their pain with their own vices, if he let them figure their life out the way they thought was best, they were going to die. God would rather see you and let you go through consequences than see you die in your sin. Because to live life like a dead man is not his will for you, and it was not his will for them. So after 7 years, the Lord steps in. Gideon wasn't crying out, but God's mercy and grace knocked on his door. And the Lord spoke a vision. Gideon had no vision. He wasn't going, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" God interrupted his life. If you've been invited here, if you are here today, it is because God has kept you in a place because he wants to continue working. Isn't that good news? I'm so glad that God did not leave me in my mental health. I'm so glad that God does not leave me in my darkness. I'm so glad that a friend said, I will pick you up. I will drive you to church. She knew I was not going to go back there because there was so much shame. And God will send angels of the Lord, people, life groups, strangers to speak over you. And the next verse, the Lord responds to Gideon's questions and his accusations. The Lord says, well, you faithless man, what was I thinking? Is that what God says? No. The Lord turns in verse 14, go in this strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Gideon was called in his mess. God spoke life over him in a mess. How did Gideon change? He was Gideon. He didn't gain 80 pounds of muscle. He didn't learn the word of God in 2 weeks. He didn't grow a backbone. He did not become fearless. He was still Gideon. And in that weakness, God says, I see a weakness in you that I can use. And he calls his weakness what? Strength. God called me to preach when I was 16. I had no clue what that meant. I just knew I was supposed to do that as sure as I stand here. I have a speech impediment with my R's and my S's. And sometimes when I'm talking, I will tell you, people cannot understand what I say. And I'm like, Lord, why did you call me to preach? It sounds sometimes like I've been, you know, having a margarita sometimes before church. I'm like, I'd rather sing a 3.33 minute song and change lives than have to do this. He's like, no, because I know you can't talk. And I know that you're going to bow your knee and say, oh, God, help me. And then when I speak through you and people can understand you and my anointing falls, you're going to know and I'm going to know and they're going to know it was me. Amen. And that is why in Gideon's weakness, God said, go in your strength. Gideon replied, please, Lord, how am I to rescue Israel? He's still questioning. I am the least significant in Manasseh. I am the least significant in my entire tribe. How is this going to happen? And the Lord answered that question. I certainly will be with you. And this is what's going to happen. You are going to strike down the Midianites, the thousands of people, as if there was only one man. And we're going to hear the rest of the story in 2 weeks. But can I tell you, there was one man. His name was Jesus. God in human flesh, the Spirit of the living God, did this through Gideon. The point that Gideon had to know was that God was with him. The Lord told him that 2 times. And he struggled with this. And we struggle with this. The Lord is with me. Let's look at these verses, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. The flame will not burn you. That's great. But what are you going to do in August? When you've got to go back to school and that bully who bullied you last year is in every one of your classes, you're going to be afraid. But you've got to say, God, you are with me. Give me wisdom. What do I do? Who do I talk to? The Lord will tell you what to do, and you can do that because God is with you. Guys, 25 years ago, the man I was married to said, I don't love you. I don't know if I've ever loved you. I don't want to be married anymore. If you have experienced that, you know that the river is about to overflow your life. Your financial life changes. Your heart breaks. You find yourself crushed in a fetal position many times on the ground. I lost my job. My house changed. What? God, where are you? I'm with you. I'm holding you. I'm keeping you. How can a divorced woman be a pastor? I will finish in you what I started. I have photos from that period of my life. And you know what they remind me of? They don't remind me of heartache. They remind me that I survived because the Holy Spirit kept me in safety. And I am here today preaching the Word of God in a church that has grace, not because the church is the authority, but because God is the authority of His plan. Amen? The Word of God says nothing that you do will thwart God's plan from your life. And I need to tell, someone something right now. You think you can't because you did. Nothing that you do will thwart God's plan in your life. In Jesus' name, you've got to receive that. Because you are the mighty warrior. You are a valiant warrior. And that is what God says to you. If you are around people that do not confirm that in your life, walk away. Walk away. Because you can choose where you want to live. Second verse. Psalms 139, verse 7 and 8. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I'm in heaven, to me that represents it's a good life. I'm doing something right. Can I just remind you that through God's goodness, you are led to repentance. It's God's will that your life is going fine. But we've got to know, God, this is done. This goodness in my life right now is done by you. Amen. I might be gifted. I might be talented. My degree might get me places. But ultimately, this goodness is from you. But sometimes I'm in Sheol. Sheol is a representation of hell in the Word of God. How many of you have felt like you're in hell on earth? Guess what? God is there. Found myself in a car accident one day. Don't know how I survived it. God was there. Found myself in a place of life that I was so ashamed of. I couldn't talk to anybody but someone who didn't even know me. God was there. I found my place broken one day and my mental health was so confused. I didn't know how I was going to get out of bed. God was there. God is with you always. He never will leave you. He never will forsake you. Gideon had to know for the task that God called him to, that God was with him because he was not qualified. The Holy Spirit doesn't, you are never qualified to do what God wants you to do. Wives, we are not qualified to love our husband. Because I'm angry and bitter sometimes when he just puts the dishes on the counter and he could have just put it 6 inches further into the dishwasher. I'm like, you could have had a touchdown. You are the first yard line. Okay, I don't have the grace sometimes to be loving. That is my day. Holy Spirit, help me love him. Help me love her. God is with you. There is no navigation through aging, is there? I'm like, be gracious with your parents because they've never been this old. It's hard. I tell every kid this. Your mom's never been a parent of a 17-year-old. She doesn't know what to do with you. It's hard. The Holy Spirit is with you. He will navigate. Next scripture. We're going to John 14, 17. The Helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. We when you bow your knee to the Lord and you say, God, I'm a sinner. I cannot do this. Please help me. Immediately, the Spirit of the Lord is in you. If you look at that verse, it says, but this world, the world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. If you are going to Instagram, Facebook, someone who doesn't know the Lord, Eastern religions, mythology, if you're going to the world to find out your answers, they don't have the Spirit of God. They will always give you something that's maybe close enough, but not what God wants. You might have had a fight with your spouse, and you're like, what am I supposed to do? And you call a friend, and they go, girl, I tell you, don't do that. I mean, you're going to ask a broken vessel what you're supposed to do. You get on your knees and you say, Holy Spirit of God, what am I supposed to do? The Holy Spirit of God might say, you need to go back to counseling. The flesh will go, I've been to counseling. That didn't help. Spirit of God says, go back. I was in a period of time in my life where it was so messed up here, the spiders couldn't even get in. You know what I'm saying? It was bad. And I said, I just need to go somewhere. So I said, I'm going to go. I was a pastor's wife in the town. Everybody knew us. I'm going to go where no one knows our name. There was a conference of a friend of mine who was in college, and I knew she was a safe person. She was a strong believer, but she wasn't quacky. You know what I'm saying? And she was having a women's conference. So I drove, literally, I got on the phone. She said, come on, we'll save you a seat on Wednesday. I packed my bag on Thursday. I drove 20 hours to Alabama. That's because I got lost. The seat was open for me. And I said at that time in that conference, nobody knows my name here. Nobody's judging me. They don't know my story. I'm safe. And I'm going to every single altar call they have. Every single one. Everyone sat on the front row because I'm ready. I had to come back changed or I was going to the Nutville. You know what I'm saying? So I sat there, and this was a Assembly of God church. It was a three-day women conference, and they had altar calls every 2 hours. And every 2 hours for Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday all day, and Sunday all day, I was at the altar because I was in a place of God. You've got to move. So sometimes you're in a place where God won't give you deliverance. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? Because God was calling me to do something, have good mental health. And I couldn't do it with what was working because it wasn't working. So I had to press in. I was fasting. I was praying. And that was the deliverance that God met me. But I had to work that out in obedience. This last scripture, knowing that God was with me, is out of the book of Psalms. I want to tell you a very personal story in my life. I haven't shared a lot up here. Psalms 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I can't tell you the year that this happened in my life. It was a long time ago, 2006. It was the darkest, one of the darkest years of my life, 2 years. 3 years, I don't know when I came out of it. It was a beautiful day. It was the day after Super Bowl. My daddy had organized Super Bowl party, and we were all there. And I was having my Bible study that next morning. It was a Monday. My mom called about 10 a.m. She was freaking out on the phone. She was screaming, and I couldn't understand her. And all that I could make out was daddy shot himself. And I was like, what? He has a gun? Okay, he's cleaning his gun. And I said, in the foot? And she goes, no, daddy's dead. Okay, life goes into slow motion. If you've ever experienced a sudden unknown, And it's a blur. The whole season is a blur. Daniel drove over to Dad's house, Mom, Dad, and it was like, I'm like, hurry up, because I had to get there, and it was just dark. And it was hard to function, hard to breathe. You know how it goes. Life is like a slow-motion movie. And you wake up the next morning and go, was that a dream? And months and months and months and months, I just was coping. But I knew I could not go to church, because the church was the place that I was going to eventually get saved and healed. And, you know, you have to cling to an anchor when you're drowning, because the rivers, they won't overtake you, but you have to cling to the rock of the salvation. So I did. I was the pastor's wife, so I just showed up. And one night, I gotta explain this to you. We live in a realm of the earth, and then we also live in a realm, there's a spiritual realm, right? It's called of heavenly places. And in this realm, even today, the Word of God calls them ministering spirits. There are angels, and they war on our behalf. They pray on for us. They fight for us. It's in the Word of God. It's there. And there's also demonic strongholds. It says, be aware of the schemes of the devil. And there are schemes every day that try to take us out. Doubt, fear, unbelief, trauma. And I knew I had to cling to this anchor. So in this season, God is with me, right? God is with me. God is with me. I had slept for a long time, and I fell asleep one night. And in the middle of the night, my husband had laid his hands on me. And I woke up. I was in a dead sleep, and I woke up. And I could feel him. He was spooning me. He was just praying over me. And he was speaking scriptures. And he was saying prayers, and he was speaking the Word of God. Now, my husband, he can quote chapters, but I was hearing him pray scriptures that I, myself, had never heard. And after a while, his hands, because he was praying so much, were pressing on my back. And I turned over to spoon him back, and he was not there. The side of his bed was not even erupted. It was not even messed up. I thought, Daniel? I said, Daniel? Daniel, where are you? And there was nothing. I went into the bathroom. I said, honey, where are you? There was nothing. I went to the kitchen. It was dark. I went back to bed. I laid down, and I knew in that moment, and you will never ever convince me that this isn't real. There was so much peace in my heart. And I knew that in that moment, my ears had been opened up to the supernatural spiritual realm. And I heard the songs of heaven over me. The scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord dances and sings over you day and night. I heard that. I got to hear that. The Word of God says that the Spirit of God intercedes for you all day. I got to hear that. Amen? That was my anchor, that God was with me. I survived those years of my life. I got back to what God was calling me to do. My season of darkness became the season where I saw the Lord. Amen? So the season that you're in, it's the season that you're supposed to open your eyes, be alone, and see God's faithfulness in your life, in your marriage, in your aging process, in your diagnosis, in your struggle, in your financial stuff. See God, because God is there with you. Amen. Just like he was with Gideon, he has called us to more. And I would encourage you, as Daniel comes and closes, to know that he is with you here, he is with you there, and he will call you and equip you, amen, by his Spirit. By his Spirit, says the Lord. You are beautiful, you are valiant, you are loved, you are cared for. He died for you so that you could lift your head and that you could walk in the confidence of the Holy Spirit, knowing that He is with you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well,
amen. Preaching, Mary. I was in the house. I just was in the back bedroom because she was sleeping so soundly. I said, you know, I'm not going to wake her up. So God is with us. Can you say it out loud? God is with me. Now, here's the thing, too. The second thing that I'm just going to say briefly is, what is God saying about you? What does God say about you? What do you hear God saying about you? Now, I want you to know it's probably a whole lot more positive than what most of us usually choose to think that God is saying about us. But here, on this, the biblical example here, and it was an example, remember? Paul said these things happen as examples. He told him, he says, you're a valiant warrior. Mary explained very clearly. He was a mess. He was a malnourished, you know, weakling at the time. But God says, you're a valiant warrior. God says, you're a deliverer. He says, you're going to deliver Israel. Well, that's pretty strong. Now, God is saying things over your life, too. Every one of us. Every one of us. Listen, I believe we're living in the last of the last days. Can somebody say amen to that? Well, if you believe that, you've got to know that the anointing God's going to put on you is for helping other people. You see, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the word of reconciliation. And that's just basically very simple. It's going to be portrayed in what we're going to do in a minute when we have communion. Jesus Christ came into the earth to redeem people. He came into the earth to save sinners. He came into the earth to break off the chains that hold people bound for destruction. And we are the ministers of that. Now, some of you go, I don't like talking about that. You need to repent. You don't have a choice. God called you and elected you. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you're an ambassador. Can you say amen? Now, you may not be as good at it as somebody else, and you may not be as vibrant as somebody else. That's okay. But it doesn't change the fact that we all have been given the ministry of reconciliation, and there are people that we can impact. What are you going to say about yourself? John 1, I love this one. You've heard this 100 times. Jesus came to His own. John chapter 1, but His own did not receive Him. But to those who did receive Him, He gave the power to become what? Sons and daughters of God. You see, God knocked on your heart's door. He calls you to Himself. It's not to a church. It's not to be baptized. Those are both good things. It's not to even serve as a life group leader. That's a really good thing. All of those things. He calls you to Himself. And then He calls you son, daughter of God. When you're going through anything, that's what you got to say. Father, Father, Abba. He says, the Spirit of God's in us. We cry out, Abba. Now here's what He says. If you're a son, in Romans 8:17, He says, you're also a what? An heir. An heir. An heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. How many of you know God doesn't lack for anything? He's your source. He's your source. Praise God. Last Monday night, I don't know if Chris is in here this morning, but Chris came and he says, man, I haven't had a job in 5 weeks. I said, well, let's pray about that. We prayed over him and he called me the next, hey, brother. He called me the next day. He says, man, I was offered 2 different jobs today. I said, praise God. Your daddy took care of you, didn't he? Yeah. He took care of you. We've got to know that it's not because of anything that we do. It's because of what God has done for us and who He says we are. We're heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ. I like this one, Romans 8:37. Guys, we all struggle with stuff. We look at the person next to you and say, hey, listen, would you confess your sins to me? What are you struggling with? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I guarantee you this, every single one of us has struggling with something. I guarantee every single one of us has something that we have to go through on a regular basis that the enemy's trying to use to pull us down. It's just part of his tactics against us. But here's what Scripture says in Romans 8:37. He says, through Christ, we are more than what? Conquerors. Do you see yourself as a conqueror? Do you see yourself as a conqueror? So many times we get sold this victim thing. So many times we get sold this, you're a slave. You're an addict. You got this going. Can I tell you what? As long as you see yourself as that, you're going to stay there. Now, you may have been a lot of those things, and you may battle every day with some of those temptations, but your way out is to say what God says about you. Son of God, daughter of God, I've got more for you. He says, heir of God, I've got a lot of good things that's yours. They're your birthright. Birthright. I like that word. There are some things that are just your spiritual birthright, and it includes victory. You're more than a conqueror. Philippians 4 says, you can do everything you need to do through Christ. Now, this is a good introduction to our next message that we're going to share with you. But let me tell you where I got to go to this point, though. I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and I'm going to ask our ministry team to take their positions at the communion tables. There's two in the back, and there's two here. But this is how Gideon grew in faith. Okay, he says, God, if this is really you, show me, give me a sign. Boy, just like us. But here's what God did. God was merciful. And here was the sign. The sign was that he accepted his offering. Here's what Gideon did. God was stirring him up. God was stirring him up really big time. And he was wise enough to know that God was doing something. And so it says that he prepared the angel of God an offering. An offering. And then it says that he built an altar. And the altar was called Jehovah Shalom. He built an altar. He worshiped. Can I tell you, in all of our weaknesses, just like we are, I'm so grateful you came today just to present yourselves to God, because some of the greatest things we can do is just like we are, our offering is ourselves. We say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Boy, God, I'm a mess. Lord, here I am. I'm not quite as messed up as Mary was, but I'm still a mess. Lord, I need you. I need you just like she did. I need you. I need you. And your right response is always to offer yourself as an offering. Paul said, I urge you, I beg you, give your lives like a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then Scripture says he made an altar where he humbled himself. Altars are just places where people meet with God, but he humbled himself. He bowed his knee physically, not just the knee of his heart. He bowed his physical knee and got into a position of humility before God. And so this morning we're going to make this application. Because we're just like Gideon. We're going to receive the elements for communion because this is what Jesus did for us. This was his sacrifice for us. Our rightful response is our sacrifice of ourselves back to him. And I'm going to ask many of you, everybody can't, there's not enough room, but a lot of you can. And if you've got something going on deep inside of you and you just need to meet with God, you just need to ask God to speak to you, take the elements with you and just come up to the altar and make this a meeting place with you and God. Maybe you need to take your family. Maybe you need to take your spouse. But we're just going to let the Spirit of God minister to us for the next few minutes. We've got a song that's powerful. The words are so, so good. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me. The servants are in place. And if you get the elements, if you want to come up here, hold them. We're going to all eat together. But just pray. Just you and God. Just ask him, God, what do you think about me? God, what are you saying to me? Just listen. Just commune with him. And then hold that. We're going to eat together. Okay? until that time. It's no mention that Gideon had worshiped like he worshiped. There's no mention that he'd ever built an altar. No, he did later. He built a couple. And so we're going to take about 4 or 5 minutes. And I want to invite some people specifically. You've never done this before. You've never come to an altar. And you may have never, as an act of your will, said in your heart, you're saying it to the Lord, I give you myself. And this is just between you and God. But you're coming as a declaration back to God. Because, yeah, God's speaking to people. He always does. He doesn't just speak so we can brag, oh, I heard God speak to me. No, it's for us to make action, for us to move from here to there, or maybe move from there back to here. So we're going to wait just a minute, and I just believe that there's some of you God's speaking to. And I just want to invite you just to come, kneel, humble yourself, and say, Lord, like Gideon, my offering is me. I give myself. I give myself. I'm just going to wait for a couple minutes. Now here's the sign that happened that followed. The sign that followed was that the angel of the Lord took the offering. And here's going to be the sign that some of you are going to know God was in this. You're not ever going to be the same. You're never going to be the same. You're never going to be the same. You're never going to be the same. Just because you obeyed, you're never going to be the same. So come on, if you need to nail that down between you and God, God receives your offering. He receives you. We're going to take this one more time, then we're going to take the communion. Saying we're perfect. We come like we are and we give ourselves to you. Lord Jesus, also when you were getting ready to go to that cross, you knew that your body was going to be broken, that your body was going to be striped with wounds. But Lord, you said that through those things comes our healing. So Lord, you were the example of the perfect offering. We yield ourselves back to you as living sacrifices. Thank you for what you did for us. Let's eat the bread together. Jesus said that the new covenant that he was going to initiate through his blood. God, as you're holding that cup in your hand, will you just say this out loud? Lord, your blood is enough. Jesus, your blood is enough. It's enough to cleanse me from all my sins. It's enough to change my life. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, we receive this, what you did for us, as our hope for eternal life. Let's drink together. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his name. Can we sing the chorus one more time? I know we got to go. The kids are waiting for you, but let's just sing it. You've said some things about us we received today. Lord, there's some things you're going to lead us to do that we're going to seek to do today. And Lord, we give ourselves to you. We thank you that you receive us. You receive us perfectly through the blood that Jesus shed. And God, you start where we are. We say thank you.